We hope that you will attend this important meeting to discuss WPFW's relocation plans, as well as other important issues facing the station. Healthy refreshments will be served. We hope to see you there.
At 89.3 FM, this is member-supported WPFW, Washington.
Good evening. It's just about 6 p.m. in the nation's capital. The name of the show's News Views. My name is Garland Nixon. I'm on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. here on WPFW 89.3 FM in Washington, D.C., your Pacifica affiliate. Lots of good things going on. And, of course, as always, you know, lately with everybody all freaked out about politics and the elections and wars and fear and all that stuff, I'd like to open the phones now and give people a chance to call in and to voice their opinion. As I always say, you get a minute if you agree with me. You get two if you disagree. I the number's 202, before going any further, 202-588-0893. You know, like 89.3 FM, just put a zero in front of it, right? 202-588-0893. And a couple things while I'm waiting for calls. I'm sure the phone will be ringing. Whatever you want to talk about politics, if you want to talk about the election, your fears from the future, your concerns, things that you've been observing, what you think about foreign policy. You know, I love to talk about foreign policy. I'll say this about people who are freaked out. Here's my belief. There's only two things in life. You can categorize things. So I'm going to categorize everything in life into two categories, right? Things that you can control and things that you can't control. And whichever one you focus on will control your life, will rule your life. If you go around focusing on things that you can't control, that's what your whole life will be about. I know people who are always, their whole concern in life is what others think of them. Yeah, people are going to think this about me. People are going to think I did this. People, first of all, you're deluding yourself because you could never know what other people are thinking. That's, to some extent, that's mirroring. If you feel stupid, yeah, people are going to think I'm stupid. If you feel ugly, people are going to think I'm ugly. Whatever you feel about yourself, you will voice it. If you feel I'm not educated enough, you know, people are going to don't like me because I'm not educated. You think that you're actually voicing what other people are thinking, but you could never know what other people are thinking. So you're actually throwing out there what you think about yourself, how you feel about yourself, and then to make yourself, to validate it, you're just saying everybody else thinks that. You know, it's kind of like the old saying where, you know, a bunch of seventh grade little kids are in and a new girl comes in class and she's cute and all the little girls go, she thinks she's cute. No, they think she's cute. And they think she's going to get the attention of the other little boys. So they say, she thinks she's cute. She just knew. She just came to school. She's trying to figure out where classes are, what's what. But they are concerned. And so they say, she thinks she's cute. If somebody, people say this, you think I'm stupid. What they're really saying is, I feel stupid right now. You just think you can dominate me. I feel dominated. People speak out what they feel, and then they just mirror it onto other people so they can see what they feel. They can see it, and they can materialize it in front of them, and then they can feel like, yes, what I feel is valid. They're validating the feelings that they have that shouldn't be validated because all too often they're negative. And might I add, before I go to the phones, 202-588-0893, your mind makes a great slave but a terrible master. Here's what I mean. If your internal voice is always saying bad things, I'm stupid, things never work out for me, I'm never going to get that job, I'm never going to have any money, I'm never going to get the bills off. If your internal voice is saying that, it's a master and it's saying negative things to you. Now, turn that same mind into a slave and you say, you know what, I'm going to say positive stuff to myself. Now you're in charge of it. And that same voice will push you in the opposite direction. I'm never going to get these bills. I'm never going to get myself together. Nobody's ever going to like me. I'm never going to find a wife, a husband, or whatever. I'm never going to. The more you say that, the more you attract that. The more you act that out, the more you create that. But when you change it and the mind is no longer a slave, a boss that's just saying negative things to you or saying things to you, and it becomes your slave, it's no longer your master. And you say, I'm going to say good things. And you say, you know what? Things are going to work out for me. How's it going? Great. What's the future like for look like for you? Bright. Things are going to work out real bad. You are now in charge of your mind. And it's your slave. It ain't your master. And once it becomes your slave, once you take control of your mind, you can take control of your future. You take control of your world. You take control of your life. But as long as you're going around just letting your things blurt out of your mouth, sorry. I'll put it like this. It's not that you don't have control. It's just you don't know you have control. All right, 202-588-0893. We got all kinds of things going on in politics and culture. Otherwise, let me add this to people. A lot of people must have forgot this last week. Two things. Number one, do not use a speakerphone. Speakerphones are horrible, and we get feedback and all kinds. Please, no speakerphones. Number two, pick the phone up when you call here and you talk to my main man, Kalia. When he puts you on hold, make sure you turn the radio off in the back room or the computer or whatever you're listening to. Otherwise, when I talk to you, I'll hear your name. Or if you use a speakerphone, that'll work. No speakerphones, no computer on, and we have a 10-second delay. And when I say, hey, next caller, you won't hear me for 10 seconds because you won't have the phone to your ear. All right, 202-588-0893. First caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear, my friend. Loud and clear.
Yeah, Garland Nixon, my name is Abu Kufu, or Michael Matthew, the musician. I think you're the million-dollar man, the billion-dollar brother, yeah. The Sabbath Has Begun, number 47. I'm a musician. I've always enjoyed your conversation. For me, you're the million, seven words, you're the million-dollar man, the billion-dollar brother. And keep singing your song, man. Keep making music because, you know, talking is hard work just like singing. And I've listened to you, man. You're very entertaining. And to talk for an hour without stuttering, that's hard work, man. That's hard work.
You know what? You know what's interesting about that? Music is, you know, I used to play sax. I was a musician, played jazz. I was very good, actually. I just didn't really get into it enough. But my point is this. I used to think that I had no artistic talent. My drawing skills are roughly that of a five-year-old, right? My drawing and painting and poetry, I don't even get it. I read poetry and it's like I'm staring at a blank. I see the most beautiful art. I don't get it. And I thought, I guess I just have no artistic taste. And one day I realized, no, my art is words. I express my art in words, in speaking,
words,
in writing. That's my artistic talent. And I'm like, I missed that all along.
Well, I just wanted to say, I mean, The Sabbath Has Begun, number 47. I met you a few years ago down there on K Street. And you're singing a beautiful song. For me, you're making beautiful music. And I'll say once again, not to be redundant, but to speak 1 hour, man, that's a lot of work, man. you're putting on a great show, man. And I like you're keeping these. You're keeping Miss Norton in check. You're keeping the intellectuals in check, man. That's what's needed. And I'm 67 now. I was born here 67 years ago. And for me, WPFW is very, very refreshing because it's a voice for the poor people. And if I had to say, man, you're the million-dollar man, the billion-dollar brother. I don't want to hold you up, man. But thank you for your time. Thank you for your message. And keep doing your show, man. Keep shining that light, man.
Thank you very much. Well, you know what? I'll say this. I think I can connect with a lot of people in life because, as I've told people, when I was born in abject poverty. I was born in a house with no running water. I was poor as poor could be. Right. As they black folks used to say, I wasn't poor. I was po'. I couldn't afford the second O and the R. Right. And then things happened in my life till things took a dramatic change. And I went probably to the middle class, maybe even a little better than that. By the time I was a teenager, my family was doing much better off. But my foundation, the identity of me, I identify with the poorest of the poor, with those who are left behind, with those who have nothing, because I know what that's like. And there's a lot of people listening right now who are doing well, who are living well or what have you, but at one time in their life, they had nothing. And they understand what I'm saying, that if you've ever experienced that, that will always be with you. That will always color your view. And when I walk past the poorest person, the homeless person, I don't look at them like, oh, yeah, well, let me walk around that. I look at them knowing that could be me. I was there. I wasn't homeless, but my home wasn't much. I tell you that much right now. So I put it like this. If I could go backwards, I wouldn't do it any other way because I couldn't appreciate life. People who have been really, really poor all understand you appreciate life differently if you've never. If you went to school with two pairs of pants for the whole school, you know, out in the cold because you had a raggedy coat that wasn't thick enough and you froze as a child and you're walking to school and you froze and your parents can't afford it anymore. Sneakers, you couldn't, your feet wet in the snow and ice in the wintertime because you couldn't afford nothing else, right? But once you get to the point, if you ever get to the point where you have a little bit more, you appreciate it more than anybody else in the world. So I wouldn't do things any other way. Anyway, 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where you calling from? Next caller, you are on the air.
Yeah, Mike from DC.
Oh, man, my man Mike. What's happening, brother?
First of all, I'd like to take this time as I gaze upon the holiday season as Mayor Bowser in the D.C. police salivate just how many poor black and brown people that they might lock up and give a criminal record to because they're going in these stores taking reparations because the hypocrite and elitist Mayor Bowser still to this very day still refuses to do a basic universal income. And I'm kind of suspecting, well, maybe good old Mayor Bowser and the D.C. council members don't want to at least do a two-year basic universal income. Maybe that could be because of a new form of gentrification to kick out all of the good old poor people that they view as being useless unless they're working in the slave camps or the Targets or McDonald's or any benefit serve their little conservative asses. Excuse my language. But anyway.
Hey, you know what? Let me say, Mike.
Let me go ahead. Now, you would think if these stores, these major brands like Targets, Walmart, Safeway, Giants, if they really want to handle some of this, the problems, that they all would be writing letters to Mayor Bowser demanding that she do a basic universal income so people won't end up with criminal records to destroy their little careers. Because once you get a criminal record, it's hard for you to get things, and you have to become an entrepreneur in order to survive out here. But good old Mayor Bowser don't care about that. And I still can't get over my mind that white man Zelensky can come to this country month after month, as Trump calls the greatest salesperson that he ever see. Every fight, to honest, he's right.
Let me throw something at you on this whole issue, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not for people. You know, if my child said, I'm going to go in here and grab something out of the store because I'm angry. No. I don't think it's right to do that. But I'll say this. You see on TV and they say, look at these kids looting. I'm saying, no, that ain't looting, brother. They taking $100 worth of stuff. These dudes, Zelensky and his crew and all of these people on Capitol Hill and all, they're looting billions. Billions. Somebody taking $50 or $100 worth of stuff. Oh, and I oppose it. I would tell any young person, do not steal. Don't take anything that's yours if it ain't yours. If you don't earn it, it ain't yours. But my point is not about that. My point is the real looting goes on Wall Street. The real looting goes on Capitol Hill. Somebody taking $100 or $50, that ain't looting. These, you know, I read an article the other day where it is suspected now that up to half of the money that went to Ukraine, which might I add is the most corrupt country on earth, probably second only to us. But anyway, up to half of it's been stolen. We sent them $200 billion, $100 billion out the door. And guess what, Mike? You know good as well as I do that that's true. You know that. You know they. You know a whole lot of it was stolen before it even went anywhere.
Yeah, and that's true, exactly what you said. So I feel the same way. But the thing that really irritates me is when you go down to a Raymond court and you see an old lady in a wheelchair that they're getting ready to give a criminal record.
Oh, yeah.
You take a reparation. That really irritates me. You know Mayor Bowser, the elitist hypocrite that she is. She's not going to go down to Raymond court.
You know what, Mike? I think that a lot of people in this country are waking up to something. And that is, you know, if you're black, they'll say to you, well, you have a black fill in the blank mayor, congressman, whatever. What do you have to complain about? Right. If you're Latino, oh, you've got a Latino congressman, mayor, city council, whatever you have to. What do you have to complain about? But you know what they never do? They never say that to white white people. They never say to white people, well, you got a white president. What do you have? They only blacks or Latinos or whatever, they'll say, if you have so-called representation that's like that looks like you, you got it made. And if I say, well, you're white, you got representation. Oh, we ain't going to talk about that. The truth of the matter is this. People are waking up to the point that what happens is this. The so-called black leadership, which is really a black misleadership class, has sold black folks out for the last four. What are they? How has our conditions anywhere materially increased because we got a black senator, congress member, whatever the case that will sign off on billions of dollars going to Ukraine and will be standing there with a blue and yellow flag while the black community that they come from in the Bronx or Southeast, wherever, is going to pot, going to nothing.
Yeah, I know, and that's why people don't feel sorry for these elitists right now. But the one thing that really irritates me is since you used to be a police officer, I got to ask you, are black police officers trained to hate their own people?
I would say this, back when I was there, absolutely not. I'll be honest with you. I didn't see that. Now, let me tell you something. I saw some knuckleheads and some idiots that were police officers that was black, white, green, gray, and grizzly. So, no, I don't think my experience. I didn't see that. That's all I'm saying.
You and I got a different experience.
Yeah, yeah. But then I wasn't in the city.
I ran into. But I've act like that. They hate their own.
But guess what?
Look at their eyes. If you go in the stores and you see them black police officers yanking somebody out of the stores to take a reparation. I'm not talking about them doing their job.
But let me say this.
Job, they have the right to do.
Let me throw this.
Talk about the sense of. Let me finish. Let me talk about the sense of joy that the black police officers have on seeing their own people end up with criminal records. But white police officers, you don't see that with them. You see how they talk to their people with respect. And let me give you another example. That time when this black lady had some kind of mental problem, and she was driving all around in circles because she thought Barack Obama was spying on her. And here you got the black police officer, along with the white one, shooting in a car, and it was a little girl in the back.
I remember that.
And I was stunned that the Lord was really looking out for that little angel. Barack Obama never said, well, my heart go out to that family, that little girl. I'm glad that she made it. I'm sorry that happened. And I'm looking at, well, why would this black police officer know that there was a black child in that car in Blake? Because if that was a white child in there, that white police officer that was shooting there would not have let him.
Let me throw something at you before we go.
Are they trained to hate?
Yeah, let me say this before we go. But that being said, mm-hmm. Now, this is a while back when I was younger, of course. Man, I seen some cops in Baltimore City, black cops and white in Baltimore City that would just, like threaten me. I thought I was going to, you know what I mean? So I've seen it. Oh, I could tell you stories, brother. I could tell you stories about Baltimore City and how bad some of the, I've just seen them drag, beat anybody on the street. People walk down the street. Literally, I've seen cops in Baltimore City where some guy was walking down the street. He was a crippled dude with crutches on him, just walking. They grabbed him and beat the crap out of him. Blood was running off out of his head. Saw it with my own eyes. I will take a lie detector test on that. I've seen people and just beat them mercilessly. I saw it with my own eyes. And I mean, I wasn't working. I was like hanging out with people partying on the weekend. At the time, I was a police cadet. I wasn't even a police officer, not in Baltimore City. So at any rate, all right, we got some other calls. I got to run, but thanks for calling.
I got one more thing I want to say.
All right, we
got to
go.
One more thing. To President Biden, if you can give Zelensky all that money, then convince Mayor Bowser to give a basic universal income to poor and working poor D.C. residents.
Thank you. 202-588-0893. Next call, you on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, what's going on, Garland? It's Max. I'm calling from Maryland.
I'm all ears, Max.
First thing I want to say, I'm not happy about me getting, even though we have our disagreements, I'm not happy about sometimes being a little extra provocative,
brother.
I hope going forward too, because today I actually want to talk about something I think we agree on.
Okay.
But going forward, when we do talk about things we disagree on, I hope that I can monotone out so we can actually get to the deeper analysis of our disagreements in the future. But today I want to talk about something we actually agree on.
Okay.
So, a huge issue for me, right? Because I was a Republican once. In 2016, when Trump won, I actually was a Republican. Mm-hmm. For almost the entire 4 years he was president, I was certain I was going to vote for him. And then I eventually changed my mind in 2020. But kind of breaking off from that, immigration is a super important issue for me. I've done so much research on immigration. These people, for the course of 40 years, we've actually seen, as immigration increases, violence in the country goes down, the economy does better. You know, these people work so many jobs that people don't want to work. I'm actually specifically interpersonally very close with a few immigrants who are here undocumented, and they came from Guatemala. They had the money, but there's not a system in place where you can just buy a green card. It's like you need a sponsor, all that. So I think for me, it's not so much that I thought Kamala or Biden were experts on immigration. It's just with Trump, they're talking about a specific type of interior deportation, right? Not so much at the border and exporting. They're talking about interior, and I just worry over the next 4 years it could be a significant amount of deportations. You know, what's your point on that issue?
Well, you know, here's something, and I want to throw this at you. I'm glad you're having a good conversation. You know, the biggest problem I have with the immigration issue, and that is I am quite familiar with the history of the U.S. actions in South America, right? Overthrowing governments, et cetera. So what happens is this. We never discuss the root cause of the problem. The United States disrupts countries in the Middle East, in the region, screws with them, overthrows their government, does all of these things to mess with countries in the region. Now the country is economically and politically destabilized. That is our foreign policy coming home to roost. We need to leave them alone, right? Let me give you a perfect example. But Trump, I've got a perfect criticize of Trump. So, but it's the same policy as Biden, the same policy as Obama. So it's not really, it's a U.S. policy. Here's what he says. Oh, we got to do something about immigration. Okay, he gets a position to take, political position. But then he says, but we got to deal with Venezuela and we got to sanction Venezuela. Dude. If
terrible.
You sanction Venezuela,
totally
then you're going to destabilize them even more, and you're going to have more Venezuelans at the border. So while Donald Trump says what he's saying is, I'm going to destabilize the region where these people are coming from, which means more people are going to come here. But then I'm going to send them back. You now have an escalator where they come here, you send them back, they come here. How about you leave Venezuela alone and let Venezuela's economy do whatever it's going to be doing, and then the Venezuelans won't show up here. But that's the screwed up part of U.S. foreign policy. Go ahead, Max.
And I agree, because historically, Democrats, especially like in the Clinton era, they were super tough on immigration. And then even now, with the sanctions, you're totally right. Still, I would also I don't know if you've heard of David Beer, who works at the Cato Institute, but he's argued with congressmen over immigration so much. He literally says that efficient immigration policy, right? If we could make it so more of these people could actually apply from their country before they come here, people like my friends who came here, right? Then we could actually make it so that you would have less criminals coming here because the border security wouldn't be so rampant on just, they go after everybody. They go after asylum seekers. They'll jail grandmas. And then next thing you know, the criminals, the cartels actually get the hint that, well, they're going after everybody. So it makes it so, I agree with you. We need to be less involved in their country, stop sanctioning them. And then for the people that do want to come over here, right, we need to make it so that you don't need to have a sponsorship or all these money and contribution. If you have the money, if you can pay $4,000, $10,000, because that's what they're paying the coyotes to come here. The people who don't commit crime, the people who don't commit crimes and don't sell drugs are still paying the coyotes to come here. If they could use that money to pay the United States, we could increase our revenue, we could have more citizens, more taxpayers, we could literally pay off our debt, and we wouldn't have to spend all this money using the ICE and the border police to terrorize these people.
You know, yeah, I think Max, here's what we've gotten to, and this is what's important. The immigration issue, certainly, you're not going to have a country without having borders. I mean, yeah, you've got to have a sovereign nation. You have to have control of your borders. Certainly, that's fair enough. That's honest.
I agree.
But it's a complicated discussion. And it's not just as easy as, let's just take everybody and put them on a plane or a train and send them out of here. You know what I mean? That's an oversimplification of the problem to say, we're just going to grab them all and deport them. Well, dude, We deport people and they come back, you know, they're back, come across, back across the border before you, barely before they get off a plane. All you're going to get is an escalator where they're going round and round, coming and going and coming and going, right? And I think what we're saying is, what we're both saying is, you have to take an approach to this where you look at what the problems are here, what the problems are there, what the problems are foreign policy-wise, where you have a holistic view of this and try to figure out the problem instead of what we get in American politics is an oversimplification. Let's just throw them all out.
And I think the scariest thing about that for me is like, and even, and the craziest thing is even Ronald Reagan, is all the terrible things that Ronald Reagan did as president, he still granted immigrants amnesty. So I think the craziest thing with kind of like, and the Democrats, I agree, are still complicit in a lot of this, but especially kind of like what they're saying they're going to do. We have yet to see what's going to happen, but what they're saying they're going to do is that, I mean, if they deported as many undocumented immigrants and did it on the interior, right, so not even just at the border and around the border, started going into the country, I mean, we're talking about a third of the labor force could be cut.
Yeah, that ain't going to happen.
We're talking about parents of their kids being taken away. I mean, we would legitimately see the economy, it would shrink, it would go into a negative growth phase, unemployment of regular Americans would increase, and we would basically take a military project and we would use the military at home. So we would also increase the taxpayer money to get rid of the
But Matt, let me ask you this, Max. Last question. Don't you really think that's just campaign rhetoric? I think it's campaign rhetoric. You know, let me tell you why. Because it can't be done. Even if they wanted to, they couldn't do it. You know what I mean? It's just more camp. And that's why a lot of people are so sick of politics, because they're sick of hearing this simplistic campaign rhetoric every 2 years or every 4 years. And then whoever it is gets elected. And not only do they not act on it, they couldn't if they wanted to, because the campaign rhetoric is fanciful to be charitable.
So
you get the last word, man. I got other callers.
I agree with you that the likelihood of it is extremely challenging, but I will say he ultimately did choose the guy, Tom Hoffman, who did author the Project 2025 section of the border policy. And I just simply think now with some of their plans to go after the Palestinian protesters as well, which I'm not for, I think if he could invoke the Insurrection Act and declare any kind of martial law, it would influence his plans to also do a mass deportation.
Thank you very much, Matt. All right. 202-588-0893. Well, he won't have any trouble going after the Palestinian, the protesters for Palestine, because the Democrats will be 100% on board with that one. They already are. 202-588-0893. Next call, you're on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Nick calling from North Carolina.
Wow, North Carolina. Wonderful, beautiful state, I might add. My mother was from North Carolina, Durham.
Oh, really?
Yes. A lot of people from my peoples are from North Carolina, a lot of them. So what's happening anyway? What you called for?
My dear brother, Garland, you have had your punch in the face and your laugh on Kamala Harris, Biden, and the Democrats. All right. Since you are ADD, as you tease us all the time, we'll let you focus on the broader issues. A point which some people have been trying to, you know, bring to your attention to no avail, especially the guy who called 2 weeks ago and the one who called last week. You know, you stayed on the phone with them for a long time. They have great points, my dear brother.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we will see who will have the last laugh, because sooner or later we will see. As for the election results itself, so many questions remain unanswered and so many issues remain unresolved. But I'll leave that. Let me say this clearly. The results, I don't trust. They must have been tampered with. And as usual, anyway. But,
can I ask you a question then? So let me ask you a question. I got to wonder about this. So you think, okay, the presidential results, you don't trust them. Let me ask you this. For the last 4 years, the Democrats, and you'd hear this, Trump is an election denier. He's an election denier. He doesn't trust. He refuses to accept that he lost in 2022, in 2020. This is not democracy. The man's an election denier. Now, might I add, he barely lost by a little bit. He lost. I believe he lost. But he lost by a little bit. And he wouldn't accept that. And he said, I thought I was robbed. Well, to me, you got a right to say if you thought you were robbed. But I don't think he was robbed. Here's my point. But now the Democrats lost in a blowout. I mean, this was as lopsided as you will ever see, right? Well, how can somebody say that Trump was an election denier when he said that, when he barely lost and he denied that he lost? I didn't agree with him, but he said that. But the Democrats was all over. He's an election denier. He wins in a blowout. The Democrats get obliterated in state after state. And now they're the election deniers. And I'm like, well, that's kind of weird. The last 4 years, you told me he didn't accept his loss. And now that they lost in one of the worst blowouts I've ever seen in my life. I mean, you know what it's like? It's like somebody playing a game of football and they lose by 4 touchdowns. And then they say the ref stole it from you. The refs can't steal it from you if you lose by 4 touchdowns. And I find it hard, as bad as the Democrats would be. I know, brother, I go to Baltimore City, I see a brother riding down the street with a Trump sticker on the back of his car. I can't believe that Trump got robbed. When I see brothers, that's why I said Trump's going to win. And I predicted, I knew he was going to win. And now that he won in a blowout, how can people say they think they were robbed? It doesn't even make sense to me.
Hold on, my brother. You have been really giddy to the point of euphoria with how accurate your prediction of the presidential election result is. But you forget that about a year ago, I told you and listeners what the game plan of Republicans were, and which resulted exactly to the result that you predicted. I also said, that all the damaging attacks on President Biden then were really meant to get him out of the way, since he's the only person who can or who could defeat Trump. I clearly said they were aiming at Kamala Harris. So that was what happened. To me, it's no surprise.
There were a number of reasons. I just think it was the economy. History tells us when the economy ain't good, whoever's in office is going to lose every time. So I just looked at it and I'm like, there's no way the Democrats win because inflation is so high. People are upset about the money. They're losing. And it was accurate. There was other things I could get to. But over and all, history tells us if you're the president and people are unhappy with the price of eggs, you are out of here. And that's what happened, in my opinion. But you got a right to alter. So you don't think that was it? You don't think that it was accurate, that people were really either stayed home or voted for Trump or voted third party because they were upset about the price of groceries? You don't think that was it?
It was part of it. But if you remember, Ronald Reagan had a terrible economic collapse. You know, he had an economy just like this.
Mm-hmm.
But he still won his second term.
Well, when he came in in 1980. He came in on a bad recession. So, I don't know. There's a lot of factors here. But as for right now, let me ask you this. You don't think Trump won? Are you saying you don't think that Trump legitimately won the election? Is that what you're saying?
No, he did. He did.
Oh, okay.
He legitimately won the election. No doubt about it. Now, Reagan came in. It was inflation. Just like
yes, it was. Stagflation in the 70s.
President Carter's watch. But then there was also, I said inflation, right? But then there was a recession and also inflation in some parts.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not in the Northeast, if I remember very well, in the 1980s. 1985-86, mm-hmm. you know. So it started even from 1983. So anyway, but he still won. Mm-hmm. And this is not the first time sitting president with inflation in particular.
I think there was a lot of things that people were angry about.
Even recession, you know, won. But the problem is this. Even the fact that I told you that you said the what caused Biden's problem is the Democrats wanted to get him out, that it was an overt action.
Yeah.
I told you no, there are some Republican insiders who are destroying him, that it was a covert action. That the whole medical team of Biden.
And I got to ask you to wrap up too. Let me ask you to wrap up because I do have a couple more callers and I want everybody to get a chance.
From the dental team to the medical, I mean, his whole medical team should have been investigated for either drugging him or whatever they did to him. That's all I want to.
Thank you very much.
The point is this. What the damage that this monster is going to cause.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you very much. 202-588-0893. Well, look, I understand people saying Trump's going to be a terrible president. Here's what I think. I think Obama was a terrible president. I think Trump was a terrible president before. I think Biden was a terrible president. That's why I'm an independent, because I hate both parties because of the results. It's been steadily going downhill since the 70s. Worse and worse. All of the political indicators say we go to one president and people flip out. Yay, the Democrats are in now. Ooh, boo, the Republicans are getting. But the system just keeps unwinding. It's going worse and worse and worse. And if your party's in, you think it's going to get better. The Republicans are like, yes, Trump's in, we're saved now. No, or if Kamala had been in, they'd have been like, oh, Kamala, the Democrats were saved now. No, you're not going to be saved. There ain't no magic coaches, they say in football. If you've got a bad team, if you've got a bad system, but you got a bad offense, you're going to lose. And that's where we are. 202-588-0893. Next call, you on air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yes. Hi, Louise from Baltimore.
Hi. Speak loud, Louise, so I can hear you.
Hi.
Okay.
The reason why I was calling was, but that part you said, that makes no sense for the people to do that. That's why it makes no logical sense that they say, oh, my goodness, oh, the Democrats, they're bad. And then they vote them out, and then they vote the Republicans in, and then the Republicans are bad. Then they keep going back and forth. Then it makes no logical sense. But what I was calling about was to respond to this caller that last week, who is another caller of means, who's telling people without means that they're better off than they think we are.
Yeah.
I mean, he was saying some nonsense about, oh, you making $15 an hour, and you're the eggs are high, but you're kind of an illusion that you're worse off than you were.
Yeah, that was let me add to what you're saying. I'll get right back to you. That's one of the reasons the Democrats lost. They were gaslighting people. People are out here saying, man, I go in the grocery store, I spend $50, I barely got anything. And the Democrats, the times are hard. People were saying, times are hard, I can see it, I can't afford what I could afford before, I can barely make it. And the Democrats' answer was, no, you're wrong, the economy's great, everything's wonderful. And I'm thinking, yeah, it's great for you. You're making $400,000 a year. It's great for you. You're riding in the back of a black car with a driver in front of you. Don't tell somebody that can't make ends meet. And people were furious. And it shows how out of touch they were.
It's just like the other caller, when he was just very out of touch. I mean, he doesn't know how many people. First of all, $15 an hour is not a living wage.
Nothing.
And then, secondly, he doesn't know the family size of people. They have children and everything. They're working two or three jobs and getting $15 an hour. That's nothing. That $15 will, you know, shrink if you have even one child, much less two or three. And then you're right. That's what the Democrats did. They ignored because I heard the pundits, the Democratic people coming on the talk show saying, oh, you know what? They'll come around. You know, they're mad now, but when they get in that voting booth, they're gonna come around and vote for us. No, that's totally ignoring the problem. And another thing, as far as Gaza is concerned, when they were ignoring the problem, a thing that he missed is that when the ministers, when all those ministers signed that letter to Biden saying, you know, this is genocide, you know, stop sending weapons over there to kill people. Well, you don't think that they have parishioners, and how many parishioners were with all these ministers?
Well, you know what else
too? All those people too.
And think about the message. Black folks, black ministers come to President Biden and say, "Look, man, this ain't right. We're not down with it." Right? Biden's answer is, "Shut up, black folks. Y'all job is to shut up and vote for us. You don't get a say here." The message from the Democrats to black people were, "Your job is to vote for us and shut your mouth. You've come to us and ask us to do something. The answer is no. You do not get a voice here. You're not part of this team. You're part of the, your job is every 4 years, we'll come to your church and we'll clap with you and we'll stand up at the pulpit and we'll tell you to come vote for us." And then, this is what's so terrible. And then they lost, and what did they say? Black men failed. Then you blame black folks.
It's all fault.
Yeah. Black men didn't stand up. Well, wait a minute. I heard somebody literally say this. Black men failed her. And I said, failed her. So now it's the voter's job to do what he's told by his masters at the head of the plantation. No, it's the politician's job to earn the votes of the people. They've turned this thing inside out, and now they're going to get mad at people, at the slaves on the plantation, because they're not picking enough cotton. Then why don't you whip the voters? If the voters didn't vote for you, perhaps you should go get a whip and beat them.
Well, that's what they plan on doing. I think that's, you know,
it's the only thing left,
literally and figuratively. That's what they plan on doing, and that's what I'm saying. They totally ignored our concerns. They said, "Oh no, you're going to end up voting for us anyway because you know you're not going to be able to vote for Trump. And when you get into that voting booth, you're going to, you know, say, 'Oh, I can't vote for Trump. I'll vote out, so I'm going to vote for you anyway.'" That's what they thought was going to happen again. But people are not falling for that okie doke anymore.
Nope. And if they don't wake up, which doesn't seem like they're going to, they're going to get the same things in 2 years and 4 years. You know what I mean? They've got to get in touch with the voters.
You know what they're going to do?
What?
They're going to go further to the right. That's the mistake. They cannot outright the right. But they're going to say, "Oh no, the right voted for Trump." So they're going to go after their votes again.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's what they did this time.
That's the reason why we don't need to be dealing with the Democratic or the Republican Party. We need to just get out.
I had somebody tell me, "Oh yeah, Kamala was a great candidate and she ran a great candidate." I said, "Well, in that case, here's my suggestion. Just chalk this loss up to misogyny and racism and stuff like that. Chalk it up to that. Forget anything else. Don't listen to me or none of the people on the street just telling you that they were struggling. Forget that. Chalk it up to misogyny and sexism and run her again in 2028. If she's such a great candidate and you didn't do anything wrong, just do exactly the same thing in 2028 if you think that's such a great way of doing things." They need to listen to the people at the bottom, the people that don't have anything, if they want their votes. But they ain't ready to do that. They're ready to tell. You know what they want to do? They want to tell us why they lost. They don't want to ask us why we stayed home and raked leaves on November the 5th. They want to tell us why we didn't vote for them. They don't want to ask us.
Because they're going after the money. They're going after the Zionists, the corporate, and the dark money. And that's all that they're looking at. That's who their constituents are. They're not looking out for their actual constituents. Because that's exactly what's happening. If it wasn't that, then it wouldn't be a disconnect between what the people want and what they vote for up on the hill.
You are a very, very wise lady. Thank you very much. Appreciate the call. 202-588-0893. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is T-Bird from Upper Marlboro, Maryland.
All right. What's happening?
Oh, a whole lot. Early on in your program, you were talking about police and how vicious they were in some places. And
I seen it.
Yeah. Oh, I believe you. But I think they're more like the rest of us. just we've been conditioned in this country not to care for ourselves or people of color or anybody who's not a billionaire or something.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the way to become a billionaire is the or the way to become richer is to try and tell people you'll help them become richer, which is what the con man Trump does. And people buy it. Right now, we have been told that we're bad because we didn't vote for Kamala Harris, some of us.
Yeah, you didn't do what you were told. How dare you?
But it's a billionaire thing, and if you don't have a choice, you don't have a democracy. I mean, when they tried to give us a choice of Bernie a few years ago, he by the way, he's a phony also.
Yep.
But when they tried to give it, they couldn't even give us the idea we had a choice.
Nope.
You know, the billionaires control this, and they don't want anybody who is not going with them to do that. And that's so, even now, we talk about, you got to go for this lady because she's got brown skin and whatever. She is for a white supremacy state, or she was for it, and she still is. She talks about the ability to kill of our army. She doesn't talk about justice, fairness. That's why she stumbles on programs. What would you do differently than Joe Biden? I can't think of anything or whatever. She is, but we're all like that. If we were in South Africa and somebody and we weren't joining their struggle or the struggle of other people, they would put tires with gasoline filled around people like us or Kamala or anybody else who talked about only the whites. Oh, they have a right to defend themselves. They got an army, navy, air force. They've been, for 77 years, they've been stealing people's land and imprisoning them in the largest open-air prison in the world in Gaza. And the Americans don't know that because we don't even have the sense to make the news media tell the truth.
Yeah, you're right about that. The news media is
being conditioned more and more to act and consent with a genocide.
Yep.
And I'm glad that we're not going to go that way. The United States is losing power. And when they have, in the future, when Russia and China and South Africa come up with another currency, this country's going to fall. I think Israel's going to fall before this country. I think Israel has 60,000
Israel's done.
Businesses that are going broke right now, that have gone broke. They have millions of people, but you don't get that on TV. You don't get the fact that Ukraine has lost a million soldiers on TV.
Yep.
You hear stuff about North Koreans, but yet they can't seem to show us on TV pictures of these North Koreans fighting.
Let me throw something at you. So I turn on TV and I look at the Washington Post. The Russians are bringing in North Koreans. The Russians have brought in 10,000 North Koreans, right?
Right.
Like you said, we've never seen pictures. But here's my question. Even according to our own news media, here's what they say. The Russians have about 700,000 troops in Ukraine, right? And I'm really supposed to believe they need 10,000 more North Koreans? Oh, yes, sirree. They got 700,000 people, and boy, they need 10,000 more because that's going to change everything. It doesn't even make sense that an army with 700,000 troops would somehow need 10,000 more to change everything. And as you said, they got no pictures. They got no evidence. All they say is they brought in 10,000 North Korean troops. Let me say one other thing. There's French troops in Ukraine fighting against the Russians. They try to pretend it ain't. There's American troops there. They call them military advisors, right? There's British troops. They call them military advisors. So the U.S. can send all troops from 20 countries into Ukraine. But the Russians can't bring anybody they want. I don't even believe that an army with 700,000 troops in Ukraine really needs another 10,000. It's absurd.
And if you look at satellite pictures of area being taken, Russia is having no problem.
Oh, no.
And they haven't been having a problem for the last few months.
No.
So, you know, it really is ridiculous. And it's ridiculous because what they're trying to do is keep up the pretense that the white supremacy group is winning everywhere. And that's not happening.
You know what kills me? The Democratic Party's like, we stand up for black people and we're against white supremacy. And in Ukraine, the organizations that they're supporting are literal neo-Nazi organizations are proud. They're running around with Hitler tattoos all over them. Sieg Heil and all. Literally, anybody can look this up. The BBC did a documentary. It's still on YouTube about the neo-Nazis in Ukraine. So we are arming, supporting, and funding neo-Nazis at the same time claiming that we're standing against white supremacy. It is preposterous.
And the neo-Nazis are also in Israel.
That's all is there, in my opinion.
So, you know, I just say we're learning.
Okay.
We won't praise Buffalo soldiers too much longer who fought against the white man's enemies. And I hope we stop doing that also, because China, the country that doesn't like to fight at all, is beating everybody.
Thanks. We got one more caller. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where you calling from? Yo, you're on the air. What's your name? Where you calling from?
My name is Larry. I'm calling from Wellesley, Massachusetts.
My gosh, Wellesley, Massachusetts. All right. What's happening?
I just wanted to say that today was the anniversary of the assassination of my president.
Good point. JFK.
Yes, sir. And it's also the day the day after they indicted Benjamin Netanyahu and the ICC called for his arrest.
You know what? I'm going to throw something at you. To me, and we know with beyond a reasonable doubt to a moral certainty that it was the CIA, that it was intelligence to kill JFK, right?
And the Israelis.
Yes. How can you say you live in a democracy when the intelligence agencies, why'd they kill him? Because he didn't want to go along with a bunch of foreign policy stuff they wanted. So when a president doesn't go along with what the intelligence community wants, they kill him. And you call that a democracy. That ain't a democracy. Because every president from then on knows, well, if I stray too far, I'm probably going to catch a bullet in the back of my head.
That's right. Or several.
Yeah, well, yeah. I was about to say, or, you know, a heart attack or some kind of, you know, mysterious death. You know what I'm saying? But to me, at that point, and might I add, his brother, RFK Jr., was running and he was going to win. They didn't even wait. They just killed him before he won.
Yeah. 13 shots out of a revolver of a different caliber that held 8.
And it ended up showing that the bullet was shot at point blank. It shot in the back at point blank. But yet the guy was on the other. I mean, let's face it. You got to be stupid if you think that a lone wolf shooter or something.
They don't exist.
No.
But, you know, if anybody could tell me who killed Dorothy Kilgallen, they'll understand who was involved with the Kennedy's assassination.
Yeah.
She was involved with Jack Ruby.
Yeah.
She knew what Jack Ruby was doing.
You got to add this.
For Israel.
You got to add this. There are still some documents that the CIA has about the Kennedy assassination, a whole trove of documents, right? And the law said that they were supposed to be released during the Trump administration. And the intelligence community came in and said, now I'm not going to say how I know this, but someone has intimated to me that they got from the highest levels that basically what was in them would be so shocking to the American public that they couldn't release them. That was what was said at the highest levels. Now we couldn't release them. The law says they have to release those documents, the CIA documents regarding Oswald and all that stuff. So what do we know? We know right now that the U.S. government has documents to show that this is what we know. They got documents to show that the intelligence agencies killed Kennedy, and they won't release the documents. And this is supposed to be some kind of a democracy?
Right. The best one that money can buy.
That's right. The best democracy money can buy. Thank you very much. I'd argue like this.
Have a good Thanksgiving.
All right. It's not a democracy. It is an oligarchy. The billionaires get what they want, however they want it, and we don't. You know, and that's reality. But again, here's the thing I got to say before I leave. It all goes back to what I started with, and that is there's only two things in life. Things you can control and things you can't control. And whichever one you focus on will rule your life. Garland Nixon on Facebook, garland.nixon on Instagram, at garlandn on Telegram, and email me, garlandn@gmail.com. You know, I love my house music. Here's a nice little house piece I picked out for you. Peace. I'm out.
Make me